Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Today's reading comes from the Old Testament book of Exodus, with verses from the first and second chapter, beginning with chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them as they will increase and in the event of war join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born of the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, and you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine boy, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked beside her. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of God for the people of God. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My father served in the U.S. Marine Corps in the mid-1950s, and he was based in California. Whenever he was granted leave from the base, he was a tourist. He took in all the sights that he could in California in those days. And on one of those leaves, he visited the Paramount movie studios for a tour. On the day that he toured the studios, it just so happened that they were filming the movie The Ten Commandments, directed by Cecil B. DeMille, starring Charlton Heston as Moses, Yul Brynner as Pharaoh. Dad actually on the tour got to watch the filming of one of the scenes in The Ten Commandments. I don't know which scene it was. I don't know which actors were in the scene. I do know that he saw Charlton Heston. Anybody ever watch the old Ten Commandments? Quite a few of us. I think all of us probably have seen at least part of it before. It's one of the top 10 movies ever made. Now, you likely, if you've seen the movie, saw the scene that my father watched filmed in person. But if you saw that scene, you may have seen Charlton Heston in a costume playing Moses. You may have seen Yul Brynner in a costume playing Pharaoh. But I guess you probably did not see Corporal Clark Raines in his Marine uniform. Now, why is that? Corporal Clark Raines was just as much on set as Charlton Heston was. The only difference was where they stood. Charlton Heston, of course, in the middle of the soundstage. My father behind the camera, where he was told, of course, quiet on set. My dad was there as a tourist, not part of the story itself. My dad stood behind the scenes. That's the theme of this series that we started last week. Behind the scenes, what God might actually be doing when it seems like God isn't doing anything at all. Over these weeks, we're looking at stories from the Bible where God might be mentioned or not, where mostly it seems that God is working behind the scenes. In this story that I read just a moment ago, God was present, like my father was present at the movie, but unlike my father, God played a starring role with the actual Hebrew slaves. The point of this series is faith, our faith. Faith that God is, no matter what we're going through, always faithful, always with us, even when we may be completely unaware. Even when we may be complaining, questioning, or doubting whether God is there at all. Matthew Fox writes, great things are going on all around us and through us and within us. Things with divine implication, things that bear the divine presence and reveal the divine face. Maya Angelou said, there is no place where God is not. If you are in prison, in a brutal relationship or lonely, God is there. Last week, we started this series with the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. You may remember he was that Hebrew slave who had a special gift for interpreting dreams, which led to his becoming the second highest official in Egypt with incomparable power and authority. You may also remember that he had excellent leadership gifts, which led to the storing away of grain during 7 years of plenty so that the Egyptians would have plenty of grain during a 7-year famine. It was during that time of regional famine that the Hebrews, Joseph's own family, came to Egypt looking for grain, where they were welcome, where they settled in the land of Goshen, where they grew into a nation. Originally, the Pharaoh who welcomed them showed them hospitality. They were welcome guests. But over centuries, they became less wanted. Another Pharaoh rose to power and was threatened by the numbers of the Hebrews. Fearing that if an enemy came along and made war with them, the Hebrews might side with the enemy. And so privileged guests became forced slaves. And as the population grew, so did the Egyptians' fears. And fear leads us to do irrational things, sometimes cruel things. Pharaoh ordered that increasingly there would be abuse of these Hebrew slaves, and still the numbers grew. He made their work harder, and their numbers grew. He ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill the boys when they were born, and their numbers grew. And so finally, Pharaoh made the order every child, every male child of the Hebrew should be thrown into the Nile. His thought was, of course, if you get rid of the baby boys, eventually the population will dwindle. It was the first attempted Jewish Holocaust. Moses, the most famous, I think, character of the Old Testament, someone who's had an incredible influence on history, was born into that reality. At his birth, his Jewish parents decided to keep him hidden for 3 months. They felt like they could keep him out of view and out of danger. But as he grew, as he became louder, they realized that they were in trouble. They needed to do something. Moses' mother acted in desperation. And so she made the decision. She found a basket. She waterproofed it. She placed Moses in the basket as though it was a tiny little ark along the banks of the Nile, probably because she knew that was where Pharaoh's daughter often bathed. She left her daughter Miriam to keep an eye on the situation, and sure enough, Pharaoh's daughter came along with some of her attendants. Pharaoh's daughter discovered the baby, heard him crying, and felt pity and compassion for him. Miriam, of course, being there, jumped into the scene and said, I know somebody who could be his nurse and take care of him. Would you like me to go get her? Yes, please. Of course, you know who that was, right? Moses' own mother. And so Pharaoh's daughter agreed to pay Moses' mother to raise him until such an age where Moses could come and live with her, presumably in Pharaoh's palace. I don't think we ought to underestimate the risk of what Moses' mother did on his behalf. It was a bold move. It was risky. It was defiant, and it was certainly courageous. She broke Pharaoh's law, which not only put her son's life in jeopardy, but the entire family, potentially. She placed a 3-month-old in a basket in the Nile River. What if the basket sunk? What if it tipped over and the baby fell in the river? What if the wrong person found the baby? What if a crocodile came along? These were desperate acts. But desperate times call for desperate measures. If you push a person long enough, especially I would say a mother, when her child is in danger, they might just push back. Dr. Martin Luther King once wrote, "There comes a time when people get tired of being trampled over by the iron feet of oppression. There comes a time when people get tired of being plunged across the abyss of humiliation, where they experience the bleakness of nagging despair." Caitlin B. Curtis is a young author who has both a Christian background and is a Native American. She writes, "We are called to be liberators and resistors. We are called to fight systems of oppression that make life harder for any human and for our human and non-human kin. As regular people, we can make everyday choices that are the work of liberation, not only for ourselves. And we can trust that every move we make has ripple effects." Just think of the ripple effect that was created by saving the baby who had come to be known as Moses. And so Moses was saved from Pharaoh's sentence of death by his mother's act of defiance and the compassion of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses, a Hebrew slave given an Egyptian name, Moses is Egyptian, not Hebrew, was raised by royalty. He was Hebrew by birth, but Egyptian by enculturation. He had to have known both cultures. He had to have known both languages. He had to have known both religions. He had to have known customs of both peoples. And God would use all of that in days to come. Moshe Perlman was a Jewish journalist and author who worked in the Israeli government in the 1940s and 50s. He writes, "Moses was one of the greatest leaders who ever lived. He was a giant of his times. Yet no one could have started life under a more terrifying handicap. He was sentenced to death at birth. Nor could any life have been marked by such strange paradox. Born to a family of slaves, he was brought up in the palace of a king. Educated as a prince, he became a revolutionary. Torn as a baby from his people and their religion, he it was who set them free, establishing their faith and molded them into a nation. A day would inevitably come where Moses would experience the conflict of his mixed identity, the privilege of living in the palace of the king and yet knowing that he was one of the Hebrew slaves. One day he observed the treatment of the abused Hebrews. He saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew slave, and his inner conflict exploded. He killed the taskmaster, leading to him fleeing from Egypt, where he went to the land of Midian and settled, became a shepherd. After many years, one day Moses was shepherding on the mountain, and he saw a burning bush, a flame but not being consumed, and he heard a voice calling him to return to Egypt as the deliverer of the Hebrew people. In that moment, God stepped from behind the scenes into center stage, calling Moses to do something bold and new. I'm willing to bet, just looking over all of us today, few of us, if any, have ever experiencing anything quite like the Hebrew slaves. And yet, there are many in our world who have and do. Think for a moment of those who have lived in slavery in this country, but also today in our modern world, there are more slaves than at any point in human history, including when it was legal. Some believe 50 million people are in slavery today. That's one for every 150, and some are enslaved in our own nation. Few of us, I suspect, have experienced the unjust laws of a dictator like Pharaoh, but some of us have. Few of us have lived in a place where dictators like Pharaoh reign, but many of the immigrants coming to this country are escaping just such a reality. Few of us have had the lives of our children threatened. Countless people throughout history have experienced just what Moses and his people did. Think of the African American slaves who were ripped from their homeland, brought here as little more than property. Think of the native peoples who lived in this country before Europeans arrived and yet were forced from their historic homelands, forced to walk the Trail of Tears and live on reservations. Think of the countless immigrants lined up at our border, many of whom are just trying to find a way to survive. Think of what parents have had to experience in places in recent months like Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, the West Bank, Sudan. When people are suffering, either in the days of Moses or the days that we live in or any of the centuries in between, where do people find the faith to keep going? Where do they find strength? Where do they find hope when the world seems so dark? Joan Chittister writes, "Darkness is that period of life when nothing seems to be going as expected. to succumb to darkness, to fail to trust the light that is coming when this period is over, is therefore to fail to trust the continuing new dawns of life. I love that expression, to trust the new dawns of life. When the baby Moses was pulled out of the River Nile, a new dawn had arrived. When Moses was welcomed into Pharaoh's home and raised, a new dawn had arrived. When God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, a new dawn had arrived. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea toward the Promised Land, a new dawn was arising. In today's passage, like all of the ones we'll be looking at, God is just barely mentioned, in this case, only in reference to the midwives. We might ask the question, where was God in this story? Where was God when Pharaoh passed such evil rules? Where was God when the Egyptians' attitudes toward the Hebrews soured? Where was God during the many centuries of the Hebrews' enslavement? Where was God when Pharaoh ordered the killing of baby boys? Where was God when Moses was left drifting in the Nile? Well, for people of faith like us, the answer has to be, it must be, that God was there. Perhaps God wasn't seen. Perhaps God was working behind the scenes, but God was there nonetheless. Doing the work, preparing the soil, setting the stage for future deliverance. Now listen, I don't know the answer to why God didn't act faster in the story of Moses or why God doesn't act faster in our stories. And that's the frustration, isn't it? When life is hard, when we need God to move, we want it to happen now. God, do something now, and don't do it behind the scenes. Do it so I can see it. Speak so I can hear it. Move so that I can be free of this darkness and pain. And yet, God moves in God's timing. And yet, I think these stories from the Old Testament are a reminder and an encouragement that God is moving, even if behind the scenes. Encouragement to keep on hanging on in the hard times, to keep the faith, to never lose hope, to always trust in God. Sometimes to be the person who resists evil and injustice in whatever forms they present themselves, as Shiphrah and Puah did, as Moses' mother did. Always ready. Always trusting, always prepared that when God does act, that our eyes are wide open. I doubt many of us, not all of us, but many of us have endured all that the Hebrew slaves endured. But you know what? I don't think that matters. Through the years, I've had many people say to me, like, yeah, I'm going through a hard time, but I know somebody has it worse than I do. Others are suffering more than me. I don't want to make a big deal about what I'm going through. Hear me. Whatever you're going through, God cares. You don't have to be the person suffering most in the room for your suffering to matter. Whatever hardship, whatever darkness we face, God cares about us just as God cared for Moses and the Hebrew people. Whatever you go through, whatever you endure, whatever you suffer, whatever injustice, whatever threats, whatever Pharaoh you experience in your life, whenever you feel like you've been set adrift on a dangerous, uncertain river, God is with you. God is working. We can be sure God is there, even if behind the scenes. But let me add this. Sometimes the way that God steps off of the backstage, behind the curtain, out the center stage, is when he does it through people like you and me. There are moments in this life where you and I are called to be more than tourists, more than just looking on at the events and scenes of life. God calls us to step on the stage to do something. We may be wondering, where is God? Why isn't God doing something? Why hasn't God done something lately? And the way that God wants to do something in this moment is through you or through me. Sometimes it's through the Shiphrahs, the Puas, through Moses' mother, through Miriam, through Pharaoh's daughter, through Moses, through you, through me, that God takes center stage and God changes the course of human history. Where is God? Where are you? Let's pray. And so, God, I pray for all those here this morning that might be going through a difficult time, who might be struggling, who might be in darkness. Give them hope. Give them strength. Lord, show them in some way that you are with them. Give them hope for a better day. And Lord, for all of us, when we see injustice in the world, when we see the suffering of others, when we stumble upon the cries of the suffering, just as Pharaoh's daughter stumbled upon a basket with a little baby. Lord, may that be a moment that you work through us. Give us the courage, the boldness, the conviction to act when you call us to act, to speak when you call us to speak. May we always trust, no matter what is happening in our lives, that you are with us, that you are never not behind the scenes of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.